Okay, so we're holding on Coastal Zion Onward Bays, about two-thirds of the way down the onward line against Itmar. About 10 lines from the end of the narrow line. Okay. We've been talking about the whole issue of shorter slopes of the Isser to bring Carbonus outside of this Mikdash. So now we're going to talk about a related question. Up until now, we've been talking about during the time when the Bit Mikdash or the Mishkan, as the case may be, is standing. What about when it's not? It's Mass. So we have a discussion on when there's no Bit Mikdash. Hamala Bizman Azeh, if a person offers a korban outside the Azara nowadays, Rav Yechanan Amo Chayav Yishlokish Amo Potter. Rav Yechanan says there'll still be Chayav Koris, but so it's still bringing it outside of the Mikdash. Yishlokish says that he's Potter. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta has a discussion why it uses the expression Hamala, what about Hashoichus? So Tosfos wants to say over there because we had a Gemara over there that said that if the Mizbeach is not standing, then any Korbonus that are shechted, that if the Mizbeach is damaged, we said, any Korbonus are shechted at that time are possible, because there needs to be a functioning Mizbeach. Therefore, Tosfos says over there, that's why our Gemara doesn't use the expression Hashoichus, because you can't possibly shech. Because Rav Yechanan wouldn't say that a person is high of Koris for shechting a korban outside of his mikdash nowadays, since there's no mizbeach, it's not something that's Rory Lover Gutanim anyway. Therefore, he'd say it also, but he wouldn't say high of Koris. So when he says Hamal over here, Tosfos says, we're not talking about offering an animal, because that of necessity involves shechting it. We're talking about, for example, offering a mincha, or offering lavoino, or whatever, things that don't, actually, not a mincha. Offering, for example, lavoina, offering tortas, things that don't require a functioning mizbeach. We learned earlier in the Masechta that mizbeach shenekar, if a mizbeach hazahav is missing, you can still bring tortas on the floor where it should be. Therefore, Rav Yechanan would say tortas, for example, is something that conceivably could be brought inside of this mikdash even now, if we knew the actual makom, if we knew the tahor, we knew the place in the bechazav, etc. Therefore, a person would be ma'alat nowadays, he would be chayev because he's doing it outside of this mikdash. That's how Tosfos learns. But I'm learning differently, that actually the same thing would apply to shoshet or ma'alat. We're just mentioning ma'alat because we've been mentioning that and so on.
How would you mean ma'alat?
Ma'alat would be to offer it on a mizbeach, to offer it on a mizbeach and burn it.
I mean, whatever.
Okay. Rishlokish on the potter, and Rishlokish says he's potter. Now, you have some, that Rashi actually later on in the Masechta argued that towards the end of the Masechta, Rashi explains over there that when Rishlokish says potter, on the basis of what the Gemara is going to be explaining over here, that Rishlokish would say not only he's potter, but he's mutter to do it. We always learn that once the Mishnah was built, you're never again allowed to have bombers anywhere else. Rashi learns later on, that Kufyan test towards the end of the Masechta, that Rishlokish and the opinions that he's basing himself on would disagree with that and would say that after the Mishnah is destroyed, you're allowed to have bombers again. So when we say over here, Potter, it wouldn't just mean Potter.
Rashi disagrees with Rishlokish.
Rashi's not disagreeing with Rishlokish. Rashi's explaining that when Rishlokish and the opinions he's basing himself on say Potter, he doesn't just mean Potter as in its author, but if a person does it, he's not Chayav Koris, Rishlokish would be saying Potter or Mutter. Right. You have other Rishonim who learn not like that. I think Tosfos over there. Because since we're Rishonim, we use the word Chayev, so the parallel to Chayev is Potter. Once one person says Chayev, you don't say Mutter in return to it. You have like that. And Shabbos also usually, in the Sefer Shabbos, whenever it says Potter, it means Potter Abel Oster, but there are three cases where it says Potter and it means Mutter. So Rashi learns that Rishlokish would mean like that. You have other Rishonim who learn not like that. Tosfos says that no, even Rishlokish is saying Potter. He means just that. He means it is also to do, but a person that's Chayav Koris. Okay, Rav Yechanan, the halacha is like Rav Yechanan anyway. So there's no bringing korbanos outside of this mikdash nowadays. There is the discussion. Well, let's continue in the Gemara, and there's a lot of discussion among Rishonim and Achronim about bringing korbanos nowadays inside of this mikdash. But that's another matter. So. Rav Yechanan on the Chayev, because he holds Kedusha, the Shana Kitchel, the Shaita, the Kitchel, the Lover. The original Kedusha of the Bet Mikdash was not only for its time when it was standing, but also for future generations. Therefore, once the Bet Mikdash was built, then that's it. The Kedusha never went away from it. Therefore, there's no building bombers anywhere else. Rav Shlokish on the Psalter, because Kedusha, the Shana Kitchel, the Shaita, the like Kitchel, the Lover. Rav Shlokish says that no, the Kedusha was as long as the Bet Mikdash was standing. Once the Bet Mikdash was destroyed, then the Kedusha went away.
Did you say the Shina goes where the three people is?
Well, yeah, but there's different kinds. You can talk about different aspects of Shina, right? I mean, you have one level. Well, I mean, you have, fine, you roll the bubble, Shina Imam, right? But on the other hand, we also have the famous thing that the Shina never left with his mikvah. So there's different aspects of the Shina. So actually, so again, the Shlokish is saying over here that, in fact, Loikid Shalos above it. The truth is, there is it ends up being, first of all, you have different Gemaras that talk about this. There was a very, very long Tosfos earlier in the Sefer, that Samach Samach Aleph is a gigantic Tosfos that left room for like two or three lines of Gemara and one onward that discussed this whole issue of when we say Kid Shalos above it and when not. Among other things, there may be a difference between the Kedusha of the Ores versus the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Bismikash. And in fact, the Rambam makes that distinction. The Rambam understands that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael had to expire with the Korban. Therefore, Mitzvah Saplois V'Aris nowadays only did up on the old. On the other hand, he says the Kedusha of the Beit Mikdash depends on the Shechina, and the Shechina never left there. Therefore, the Kedusha of the Beit Mikdash still exists, and therefore, he says a person were to go into the Beit Mikdash nowadays when he's Tomei would be Chayav Kari. The Ravid disagrees with that concept. The Ravid says, I don't know a source for such a thing. If the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael went away, then the Kedusha of the Beis Mikdash went away too. You have some of the portion want to say that the Ravid means that therefore you'd be allowed to go onto the Harabayas, even if your some people want to say that the Ravid would hold that way. Others say that even the Ravid would agree it's also the Rabbanon. So, when we grow up nowadays, when we all learn from Kin Baizon saying that you're not allowed to go on to the Harabayas because we're Tomei, that is according to the Rambam, and maybe a Daraisa, and maybe according to the Ravid Dirabon, but maybe or maybe not.
But according
to the Ravid, definitely not Daraisa. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Nema, do you expose the Dirabon Lezer of Rabbi Yeshua? That's fine. He gave it to us four times, but the Kedusha of it, as far as Mr. Thaflorius Barak, can still expire with the Korban and with the Golos, and then it will be restored. That's what Rambam talks about, that when Mashiach comes, we're going to Mikdash from Koma, and then the Korban from the Shvatim, the Korban Kedim, Makriven Korban, the Korban Shvatim, the Yevos, the Korban Shvatim, and Amoris, the Korban. At that point, everything will be done with Daraisa again. And Rambam describes elsewhere also that the idea that when there's the Yerusha Shlishit, then everything returns to being Daraisa again, where now it's not. Fine. So the point is, it is forever in the sense that it's not that we lost Eretz Yisrael and it's never coming back to us. Right now, it's not completely in our hands and doesn't have, according to the Rambam, the full Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael on the Daraisa level. But when Mashiach, but eventually, when Mashiach comes, then it will.
But still, now that many Yidden live in Israel and Yerushalayim, things have changed since.
That's true, but nevertheless, not necessarily to the extent that it has. Not today, especially since most of the Jewish people do not yet live in Israel. Once most of the Jewish people live there, then you have what. Then you have what you're talking about. Yes. Okay. Anyway. The Gemara says, "Name the cloak the Dervalez of Rabbi Yochanan Bishmi." Should we say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are actually arguing the same point that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing about whether the Kedusha of the Beis Mikdash survived the Korban? Namely, the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Adias, Amar Rabbi Lezer at Shemaiti, how Shita Mukabetz adds from the Mishnah over there, that Rabbi Lezer said, "I heard from my Rebbeim, so you burn in Behechol when they were building the Behechol at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash." They didn't have walls for the heichal yet, but they put up curtains around the footprint of the heichal and curtains around where the walls of the azara would be. And those curtains temporarily served as to demarcate areas so that they'd be able to bring korbanos and all. It would be considered for the time being as if the heichal and the azara are up. Ella, the difference is should the heichal burn with a foot. With the heichol, they put up the curtains on the outside of the footprint of it, meaning the heichol is 100 by 100 amos. That 100 amos includes the thicknesses of the wall. So it says,
is it from the outside?
Well, so what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, in other words, what they did is they had, let's say, this is going to be the area where the heichol is going to be built, for example. Now you have the walls of the heichal themselves are a few amos thick, 5 or 6 amos thick in different places. What they did is they put up curtains along what eventually, once they finish building, will be the outer edge of the heichal. Whereas when it comes to the azores, when it comes to the walls of the azores, what they did is they built azora burning mishnin. With the azora, what they did is they built they put up the kloyim, they put up these temporary curtains on the inside side of the wall. In other words, the idea is they're putting them up to stand in temporarily in place of the wall. But the idea is that you can only shecht korbanos inside the azara, and that means you have to be completely inside the wall. Therefore, they have to put up curtains not where the outside surface of the wall is eventually going to be, because that wouldn't do you any good. Then you're going to end up shechting korbanos in this area where eventually the wall is going to be built, and you're going to have a problem. Instead, they put these curtains up on the inside of where the wall is going to be, and then when the wall is built, it's built on the outside of that. That way you're not going outside the area you're supposed to. With the hay hole, the other way around, they did it, they put up the curtains and then they'd be building the hay hole, they'd be putting up the bricks and stones of the hay hole inside of those curtains. The curtains take up, the curtains mark off the entire 100 by 100 amos of the hay hole. Anyway, the point is,
so the curtains were outside of the hay hole,
but inside of the azara, right. But the point being, in other words, that it sounds like Rabbi Eliezer is saying, they had to do that because otherwise they wouldn't be allowed to be master of korbanos, because you don't have a hayfel and you don't have walls of the azara. And therefore they had to put up these curtains. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamaiti, I heard from my Rabbeim, that they were bringing korbanos even though the Beit Mikdash did not exist, even though the hayfel did not exist yet. And historically, that's how it was. When they first came to build the second Beit Mikdash, the first thing they did is they set up the Mizbeach, described in Sefer Ezra. First thing they did is they built the Mizbeach, and then afterwards they started gathering together the material they're going to need to build the hayfel, and then a few months later they laid the foundations for it. And then what happened, the Goyim mastered on them, and for the next 18 years they had to stop the work, but meanwhile the Mizbeach existed over there, and they were able to bring korbanos on it. But Rabbi Yeshua is saying, never mind curtains or anything, they didn't need curtains, the fact that there was a Mizbeach over there was enough for them to be able to bring korbanos. But Oichlim, Kodshim, Kalim, Kodshim, Kodshim, Afbishen, Goyim, this is at the beginning, the second Beit Mikdash. And Rabbi Yeshua says, I also heard from my Rebbeim, that they were able to eat Kodshim, Kodshim, even though there were no curtains up, not like Rabbi Yehuda's saying. Kodshim Kalim and Maisa Sheni Afri Shein Koyma, and they were able to eat Kodshim Kalim and Maisa Sheni anywhere in Yerushalayim, even though there was no wall. Mifnei Shefidusha Rishena Kid Shalashaita Vakid Shalashin Lavoi. Because, says Rabbi Yeshua, the original Kedusha, from when the Beit HaMikdash was built by Shlomo HaMelech, continued throughout Golos Babel and continued into the second Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, they didn't need to put up something to represent the hay hole and the walls. They could just... Since Rabbi Yeshua is saying that, Lav Mikvah, but Rabbi Yehuda's father, like Kitcha, apparently the implication is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that didn't work, and that's why Rabbi Yeshua is stressing that point, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, on the other hand, we need Kloim. So therefore, it would mean that the machloikas of Rabbi Yeshua, of Rabbi Yechanan and the Shlokish is the exact same machloikas as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yechanan, who says that a person is chayav, for Shchotech, even nowadays, would hold like Rabbi Yeshua, that the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash still exists, and the Shlokish would be like Rabbi Eliezer.
Rabbi Yeshua would be like
Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yeshua. Says, no. Who says that that's the right way of explaining it? Maybe both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer agree that the original Kedusha of the first Beit HaMikdash continues La'asim Lavei as well, continues throughout Golos Babel and throughout the second Beit HaMikdash and after the second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. So what are they arguing about? They're not arguing. Umar Maid Shmiel Eitamar. Rabbi Eliezer is saying what he is reporting, what he heard from his Rebbeim, that they put up curtains. Umar Maid Shmiel Eitamar, and Rabbi Yeshua is reporting what he heard from his Rebbeim, that the Kedusha still continues to exist. They're not necessarily disagreeing on anything substantial. So you're going to ask, if that's the case, why would Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbeim have told him that they had to put up curtains? The answer is, let's near some alma. You could say, Rabbi Eliezer, they put it up for privacy. They put it up because not derecheristic that you just have the whole place open over there and korbanos are being brought out in the open without some kind of curtains for privacy. But not necessarily. They needed them in order to have the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash. So there's not necessarily a substantive argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about the original Kedusha, whether it lasted or not.
That's what it was meaning initially that you thought?
We thought that Rabbi Eliezer said you have to have curtains without this and it would have the Kedusha, right. Now we're saying that way you have a marked off area for the Hazel, which they could be Makadish with the Kedusha of the Hazel. We're having a shiur over here. If you'd like to talk, please, can you find someplace else to do that? Thank you. That's fine. You can speak to your daughter. That's fine. You can speak to your daughter someplace else. Please. Okay. So, again, we thought that Rabbi Eliezer said they had to put up curtains for the hay hole because otherwise you don't have a hay hole. like this. They put up curtains. They will establish that area that's Israel's vehicle. Eventually, they will build walls over there. Meanwhile, this serves the purpose. Same thing with the walls of the Agora. Now we're saying they're not. Rabbi Yehuda is saying they put them up in privacy. So this works for sneers. But Rabbi Yeshua is pointing out, strictly speaking, they didn't need to do that because it happened to Hashem. And Rabbi Yehuda would be agreeing with that. So not necessarily is Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish and Machloikis recapping the same Machloikis as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua. So again, you have the Rambam learning that the halacha is indeed that when it comes to this mikdash, the kedusha exists loss of lava as well, and therefore that's why according to him, you're not allowed to go into this mikdash now, into the Harabayis, well not into the Harabayis as a whole, but into, strictly speaking, it's into the areas of the Harabayis where the Azoris were. Strictly speaking, if we knew what areas the Azoris were, then we could go into the areas outside of them, we don't know. In fact, the Rambam himself writes in one of his letters that Amnon mentions after he visited Eretz Yisrael briefly, and apparently he considered settling over there, but he described in one of his letters that he went to Davin, Bavayit HaGodol VaHaKodesh, which many people understand that Amnon apparently means, that he davened in a shul located on the Harabayis. Because you do, in principle, you have areas on the Harabayis where you're allowed to go as long as you're not a dog or a mitzvah or what have you.
Where?
Some place close to the edges, I guess. In Rambam times, I guess they knew, and nowadays we're not so sure about it. But yeah. Anyway, the point is that, so again, now based on this, you have the real question, what about the issue of bringing korbanos in the Beit HaMikdash nowadays? So you have, the discussion about that goes back at least as far as Rabbeinu Yechiel, or some say Rav Chaim of Paris, who moved to Eretz Yisrael in 1250 in the year 5017 and wanted to bring a korban pesach. And the Chachamim of that time, the other Baalei Tosfos, well, they had a whole discussion. He himself was one of the Baalei Tosfos, yeah. So the other Baalei Tosfos and the other Rabbanim of that time had a whole discussion, pro and con, can we do such a thing? Do we have koyanim or amiyuchas? What about the fact that we're tamei? What do we know the actual mokum amizbeach, etc.? In the end, Over the centuries after that, there's been a lot of discussion about it, pro and con. In the 1800s, there were at least three whole svarim written on this topic, different ones arguing pro and con about this issue of bringing korbanos. We're still arguing about it. Yeah, two Jews, three opinions, as they say. All right. Onward. Their opinions don't count. Okay. Isma. Now we have another discussion. Hamala the envoy Kazayas. Suppose a person offers a korban outside the Beit Mekdash. There's not a Kazayas in what he's offering. The Esim Mashlimila Kazayas. But if you count the bone that's part of that's attached there, then you'll have a full Kazayas. Now, we learned earlier in the chapter, we learned in Perek HaMizbeach Mekadesh, that bones in and of themselves don't have to be burned on the Mizbeach, but we said when they're attached to the meat, then they are. So now, does the meat count? Does the bone count to make up the kezayah? Rabbi Yechanan on the chayev, Rish Lakish on the potter. Rabbi Yechanan says, I'll be chayev, because you have a full kezayah over there, including the bone. Rish Lakish says he's potter. The bone is counting. Rabbi Yechanan on the chayev, because he says, it's true, the bone by itself doesn't have to be burnt, but chibure oilin ka oilin gami. Things that are attached to something that has to be offered on a mizbeach are considered like the things themselves that are attached.
That's his principle.
Chibur oilim ka oilim dami. That's dummy. That if you have like this, the meat of the korban or the meat of the korban, like they were talking about an oila, is supposed to be burned on the mizbeach. Therefore, the bones which are attached to it are also considered like oilim. It's considered like something that is meant to be brought on the mizbeach system, and therefore that in this case the person brings it outside of this mizbeach in Chai Paris. Rish Lakish says it's potter, because the fact is the bone itself, and there's no chiyuv to be matched with the bone. And he says, chibur olam, after olam damu, he says something attached to something that's meant to be offered on the mizbeach is not itself considered something that has to be offered. Therefore, without the bone, you don't have a kezayis, therefore no chorus, or no chasas, as the case may be. Lav ka olam damu is not considered like the actual item that has to be put on the mizbeach. The meat, or the fat, or the whatever, yes, there's a mitzvah to burn that on the mizbeach. The bone, there's no particular mitzvah to burn that on the mizbeach. The only reason you're putting that on the mizbeach is because it's attached to the meat. So Rish Lakish says that's not enough for it to be considered part of the korban itself. Okay. So now Rava asks in this connection, what about Hamala Rosh Ben Yona She'en Bekezai? Suppose a person takes the head of a dog. So you have an Olaf Ois, you have the You have the head of it, which, by the way, McCoy should point out, the reason why he mentioned the head is because the head is a complete aether. Later on all the days, we're going to have a discussion about pros and cons of whether a person needs to be offering a complete aether or what in order to be higher, but a head is definitely a complete aether. But this particular aether, this particular head, is less than a kezias in size. So far, if it was just that, he wouldn't be chayav for mala bachalus. But umelach mashlim lekezayis. But then he put salt on it, like he's supposed to do with a carbon, and then that salt makes it add up to a complete kezayis. Mahu, what would be the din? Is he chayav a chatzar amount if he did it for shredding? Amale Ravim Tarzikya Ravashi. So Ravim Tarzikya asked Ravashi, what is Rav asking? A lot of questions. Place in the name Babel, I guess. I don't know. Lav Hainu Plagtayer Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish. So he says to Rav Ashi, isn't that the same argument as Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish about the case where the bone is in it? Why is Rav asking the same question? Let him just figure out whether the halacha is like Rav Yechanan or like Rish Lakish. The answer is no. Kiboyle Rav Yechanan and Kiboyle Rish Lakish. No, because actually Rav's question works as a valid question according to either Rav Yechanan or Rish Lakish. We can ask it according to Rabbi Yechanan, who said that a bone counts towards the kezias, because ad kan lekama Rabbi Yechanan hotam, because you know why Rabbi Yechanan is saying over there that the bone counts el esem only a bone, the mina de boter, where at least it's the same min as the flesh. They both come from the animal and they're attached together. Avon melach, but when it comes to salt, the lav mina de bar yonah, who it's not from the same species, it wasn't originally attached to the ben yonah, so maybe it shouldn't count. Loy, so maybe it shouldn't count towards the kezayis. And tiboy le Rish Lakish. And we can also ask the question according to Rish Lakish, who says a bone doesn't count. Ad kan like ka'am Rish Lakish hasam. Now you know why Rish Lakish is saying that a bone doesn't count. Elo di parish mina, because the fact is, if the bone gets separated from the meat, then as we learned earlier in the Mizbeach Makadish, you're not the lav mitzvah lasufi. There's no mitzvah to put it on the Mizbeach.
Yeah, but that's when it's separated.
That's the point. So therefore, you could argue, even now, when it's attached, it still doesn't have the full status of the carbon. Aval hacha, but over here, in the case of the salt, the parish mitzvah lasuki, here, if the salt falls off the aver, there's a mitzvah still to put it back up onto the mizeach. So therefore, loy, maybe there's a difference. Maybe the shlokish would agree that the salt counts. Now, you have a chren, because every carbon has to be salted, right? So therefore, salt... Ah, so okay. So you have a chronim talk about a question like this. They say, very nice. Okay, a carbon has to have salt on it. But it's not like this particular salt that fell off it on the face of it. It doesn't have, not like that particular bit of, and you can take any salt and put it on it. So why are we saying that this particular salt would count towards it? So they give an answer in the name, of Reb Zelvel Brisker, and also the Chazon Ish gives this answer, that actually, once the salt is placed on a carbon, it actually becomes an integral part of the carbon. Therefore, yes, the same rule of that if it fell off the mizbeach, you have to put it back, but we learned back in the mizbeach mekadesh, the same rule would apply to the salt.
But that doesn't mean that it adds to the
carbon. According to the shlokish, we could argue that it does, because the same way as you have a mitzvah to put back the head itself, if it fell off the mizbeach, the same way you would have a mitzvah to put back the salt, if it fell off the head.
If you have to put back the salt, it still doesn't mean that it adds to...
But it means, therefore, it's all part of the one carbon. It's all an integral part of the carbon.
It's part of the one carbon without adding...
But that's, we can argue that maybe it is. Rish Lakish would say that the bone is one thing, because if the bone got separated from the carbon, you're not obligated to put it back on the back. But the salt, you are. That's the thing. According to the Velvel and according to the Chazon Ish, yes, this piece of salt. Because once this piece of salt was on the carbon, then it became part of the carbon.
One second, because it was on the carbon,
In fact, they bring in that connection of Pasuk the Gemara, and the Gemara actually brings in this connection of Pasuk from Yechezkel that says, the shlichu akarinim aleyam melach, the karinim should throw salt on the carbon, the helu oisam oila lashem, and they should offer them as an oila lashem, implying that the salt becomes part of the oila. Maybe there's no difference. Maybe the fact is, maybe the salt is not an integral part. Maybe the salt is not from the min of the thing, and therefore not. And the answer is, okay, we don't know. So the answer is, therefore, that if a person were to do that, he were to be mala a piece over here outside of the sinifesh, where there's less than a kezayis, but the salt makes it up to a full kezayis, he would not be chayav a chatas. because the topic and you don't bring a hat, that's where it's off.
So we must know when
fine, but you also can't bring Kula Ma'azara. You also can't bring Kula Ma'azara, so therefore Mistopic, he's not gonna bring a carbon. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Agrivi on the Kula, we said in the Mishnah like this. Rabbi Yosi Agrivi said that there's a difference whether the korban was shechted inside the Bet Mikdash and then carried out versus whether it was l'chatchila shechted outside the Bet Mikdash. Because he argues if it was shechted outside the Bet Mikdash, once you shechted it, it already became possible. In order for a person to be chayav, of course it's a shechita. It was a shechita. The shechita was a valid shechita. But it made him chayav kara, it's fine. But now we're saying if somebody else, or he himself, the Helamecha, let's say, were to go and burn that and offer that, put it on a Mizeach and burn it outside the Azara, Rabbi Yosi Agrivi is arguing, you're only chayav, a person is only chayav, for something that is really lovely with him, only for something that's suitable to be brought on the Mizeach and the Mizeach. He was not, because it was shechted outside the Azara, if anyway possible. So therefore, he says, therefore, you should make that distinction. And the Chachamim answer him. The fact of the matter is, they tell him in the Mishnah, on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, at the beginning of the parak. The fact of the matter is, the Chachamim tell him, and so what about, so if you shecht it inside the Azara, new, and as soon as you carry it outside the Azara, it also becomes possible. And yet you agree that if a person carries it outside the Azara and is master of it, they is higher Torah. So what's the difference? Either way, it's possible. So what would Rabbi Yosi Agrivi want? And therefore, if we're saying in the second case that he's chayav for the halal, then he has to be chayav in the first case also. There's no reason to make it. No, you, Rabbi Yosi Agrivi, are arguing that not, but we disagree with that. So what does Rabbi Yosi Agrivi answer to that? Heshiv Rebbe tachas Rabbi Yosi Agrivi. The Rebbe answered in place of Rabbi Yosi Agrivi. Rebbe is a couple of generations later than Rabbi Yosi Agrivi, so apparently Rabbi Yosi Agrivi didn't give this answer at the time, but Rebbe later on came up with an answer. How can you compare? When a person shechts the korban inside the azara and then he takes it outside and offers it outside, the korban at least had a shata kosher. There was a period when it was kosher. Because when he shechted it in the azara, it was kosher to be brought on the mizbeach. How do you compare with shechting it outside and offering it outside? There was never any shata kosher. There was never any time when this korban was capable of being brought on the mizbeach. Fine, but Rabbi Yosi Agrivi is pointing out there's a difference between different kinds of korban. There's a difference. Yes, so the Chachamim won't accept that distinction, but especially because we have Limudim before from Sukkim, that there may not be a difference. But Rabbi Yosi Agrivi is arguing that on that basis there should be. Rabbi is arguing. We learned yesterday, we talked about that you had Mukhturet Pnim, Vahela Bachot, Mukhturet Chot, Shehela Bachot. We talked about over there that you had Lashes Oso and Loivienu. So he brought over there that there's reason to say that, yes. But I mean, exactly, he doesn't agree with that, and he would say that, therefore, given that you have this distinction between a Psul where it had a Shaka Kosher or not, then there's a valid reason to make this distinction. The Chum doesn't agree with that. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who was a contemporary of Rebbe, so again we're talking a couple of generations after Rabbi Yosi Agrivi, he also gave an answer in place of Rabbi Yosi Agrivi. He put it differently. How can you compare the case where you shecht it inside the Azara and he offers it outside the Azara? The Kodesh would accept it. Meaning, what would happen if you were to, what would happen if a person were to take this piece and bring it back into the Azara? So you're not supposed to put it on the Mizbeach, but it's one of those that we learned about back in Hamizbeach Mekadosh. So therefore, the Kodesh, the Mizbeach, will accept it b'dieved. If it was shechted inside the Azara, then it was taken outside, and then it was brought back inside. It's one of those Yim'olo Lo Yeru things. How are you comparing that? Rabbi Yosi Agrivi will say for the Chacham. How are you comparing that where you shechted outside, where the Kodesh won't be metabolite, where in Olo Yered, even if you put such a thing on the Mizbeach, you would have to take it down? Okay. So you have Rebbe's thing focusing on Shata Kosher and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon focusing on Kodesh metabolite. So this is my binay. Okay, what's the practical difference? Where do you have a case where one of them would say Rabbi Yosi Agrivi would agree that he's higher for it and the other one not? So the Iri says the nafkamina between them would be what if the korban was shechted at night? According to Rebbe, there was no shata kosher because as soon as it was shechted, it became possible. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, it's one of those Imola Yeres things. You're not supposed to shack the program at night.
According
to Debbie, there was not shaka kosher because from when it was, as soon as it was shafted, it was possible. Shaka kosher would mean that after it was shafted, there was a chance for it to be kosher. You could have at that point received the blood and sprinkled on the mizbeach and broke the pieces on the mizbeach, etc. And instead you took it outside. Bruce is over here. The moment the shita is done at night, already the korban is possible. So there's no shaka kosher. We learned actually earlier in the sechta, we talked about what Rashi understands, shasa kosher versus how, what Tosfos understands. Does it mean that, it had a chance to be kosher or not? Or does it mean something that would have been accepted? Does it mean that it became possible after it was brought into the Azara versus before? Anyway, the point is, all Gemara works according to any of these explanations. But the point is, when it was shechted at night, there was no shasa kosher, but on the other hand, imol loyeri. Tosef actually points out that actually would only work according to Reb Shimon. According to Reb Yehuda, who says that such thing, which we learned there, he said, according to Reb Yehuda, you would have to find other examples where there'd be a nafka minhag between them. According to Reb Yehuda, you'd have to find other examples. Shulchan Balayla wouldn't work, but maybe there'd be other cases you'd have to find that would work, right? Okay, so that's one. Rabba Amar Kibla B'Kli Choyl Ukebinayo. Rabba says, here's another one. Suppose that he received the blood not in a mizrach that belongs to Hekdesh, but rather in a plain old keli. Now that's the equivalent of, so again, if you receive it in a Kli Choyl, that's not a valid Kabbalah. There's no Shaka Kosher. But on the other hand, it's a Kodesh Makabloi because it was Psulah Bakodesh. And Psulah Bakodesh, again, according to Rashi, Psulah Bakodesh means that the Psul happened after it came into the Azara. According to Tosfos, it means that it's something where there are other cases where it'll be valid. In this case, by a Bama, you don't need three Charis. So again, according to Rebbe, we would say that if you receive the blood in a Kli Choyl, then Rabbi Yosef Agrivi would agree, since it never had a Shaka Kosher, then it's similar to being shechted outside of the Mikdash, and therefore he'd be Chayiv Karis for Halal Bachos, or Chassas, and according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, he wouldn't because Kodesh Makabloi, because Im Ola Lo Yered was such a carbon.
Regardless of the fact that it was not shechted outside,
the fact that the blood was received in a free coil, it's still one of those imola lo yered. If you put it on the mizbeach, the diavad, you leave it. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon would say Rabbi Yosef really would still say he's poser in that case. Okay. Then we said tamei sha'achal ben kodesh. Well, then we had the Mishnah continued. The Mishnah digressed to a related to a chloikus. With a similar structure. The same way as you have this argument about Shulchat Bachut Sahel Bachut, where Rabbi Yosef really argues, look, it's already possible, why is he higher for the Halah? And the Chachamim tell him, so what? So when you Shulchat Bachut Sahel Bachut, it becomes possible as soon as you take it out. You have a similar Machlokus and a similar plan. That's Rabbi Yosef really says that's the difference, and the Chachamim, yeah. The point is, we have the Mishnah continued by digressing to a Machlokus with a similar structure. If you have a person who's Tommy, and eat kodshin, we know he's chayav kodesh. What about if what he ate was itself tummy? So Rabbi Yosef Agrivi will say, if the person is tummy, it's kodshin that are tummy. Rabbi Yosef Agrivi, no, he's not allowed to, of course not. But you're not allowed to eat kodshin when you're tummy b'chal, whether they're tummy or tahor. But so if he's tummy and the kodshin are tahor, everybody agrees he's chayav kodesh. It says so clearly in the pasuk. But if he's a Tomei and the Kodshim are also Tomei, so the Chachamim agrees, the Chachamim hold he's still Chayav Koris, or a Chassah, and Rabbi Yosef Agrivi, and Rabbi Yosef Agrivi disagrees with that and says that he's not. So the Chachamim, well, that's the thing. So Rabbi Yosef Agrivi argues, once the Korban is Tomei, once it's Tomei, so why should he be Chayav? And the Chachamim answered him, and so what if you have a Tomei eating Tahor Kodshim, as soon as he picks them up to eat them, they become Tomei because he handles them. And yet you're still saying that he's Chayav Koris. So therefore, there shouldn't be a difference.
Because he was Tahor at the beginning.
He was Tomei. The Kodshim were Tahor.
The Kodshim were Tahor and he was Tomei.
And he was Tomei. As soon as he picks them up to eat them, he makes them Tomei by handling them.
Right.
Therefore, the Chachamim say, Rabbi Yosef really still agrees Chayav Koris in that case. So therefore, it shouldn't be a difference if it became Tomei beforehand.
It's a big difference. The Kodshim was Tahor and he was Tomei. as opposed to the Kachin who come in, he was Tomei.
And what happens with Kachin that are Chohar, where a Tomei person picks them up, they themselves become Tomei.
Yeah, that's why he's supposed to be higher.
But the Chachamim are saying, even if it became Tomei before he ever handled it, he's also Chayav. Rabbi Yosef Azmini is arguing that not. Rabbi Yosef Azmini is arguing that there's a difference, that there should be a difference between whether the Kachin were Tomei before he handled them or not. And the Chachamim are saying, why? Either way, when he handles them, they become Tomei, so they still become Tomei before he eats them. So, the Gemara says, Shafir ka'amrile Rabbanon or Rabbi Yisagli. Don't aren't the Rabbanon making a good point? This is in the Mishnah. You weren't here that day, but that's, you weren't here yesterday morning, but that's it. So don't the Rabbanon have a valid point that either way it becomes Tomei? Amar Rava, so Rava says the answer is like this. If first the person became Tomei and only later on the meat became Tomei, then there's no argument. Even Rabbi Yitzchak really agrees that he's going to be Chayav. Because Rashi explains like this. Rabbi Yitzchak really is saying that, now we have a concept that the Gemara discusses in various places called Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. One Isur cannot be Chal on top of another one. So in this case over here, if he was Tomei first, we're already then at that point he has the Isser and the Isser Kares, the eating Kachim. So the fact that later on it became Tomei doesn't make a difference, and Rabbi Yisrael really will agree that he's Chayav. The Isser of Tumas Boso doesn't take away from the Isser of Tumas Gup. She pligi the Shenitma Boso v'achakach Nitma Gup. The Machloikas would be if the meat became Tomei and then he became Tomei, which is the case that Rabbi Yisrael really is arguing about in the Mishnah. That's why the Chachamim answer him, and they say, but what about as soon as he picks it up and becomes Tomei, and yet you agree that he's Chayav Karis? Rabbi Yisrael really will answer, sure, because I agree in that case. He was already Chayav from before. He was already Tomei, and therefore will be Chayav Karis for eating Kodshim from before. The fact that now he made it Tomei when he picks it up doesn't change anything. But I'm arguing that where the carbon was Tomei before he ever touched it, I want to say that just because he's Tomei, he shouldn't be Chayav Karis. And the reason is like this. The Rabbanon Savri Amrin and Nigur. Now, the Rabbanon holds, nevertheless, it's true that so Rav Yesi is going to say that the Easter of Tumas Aguf is not Chal on top of the Easter of Tumas Boser. And in fact, you don't add Easter, right? Well, because, and Rashi said, now on the face of it, Rav Yesi really should say that you could, because what you have over here is called an Easter, what you have over here is an Easter Koilo. You have, because like this, only like this, beforehand, only this piece was offered. Then when he became Tomei, all pieces of Kodshim became offered to him. That's called Isser Koro, that the Isser now includes other things that previously would have been Mutter. Rabbi Yisrael Lili says, fine, but I don't accept that concept that because, I don't accept that because there's now an Isser that applies to other pieces, therefore it should cause a second Isser to be Chal on this one and make him Chayav Kodesh. Rabbi Yisrael Lili says, I disagree with that concept.
He agrees that it's a trailer, but he doesn't agree that it's making.
He agrees. So obviously, he'll be also to eat any other carbonas. It says so in the passage. But he won't say that because of that, now you're going to have a second Easter, which includes a few carbonas, to be on top of the first Easter of Tumas Basa. So the Rabbanon Savri Aminin Migri, the Rabbanon hold, we say Migri, in other words, we say Issa Kurl, because now there's an Issa to him of all other Kodshim, because he's Tomei, therefore that Issa is also able to land on this one piece, which was already off-limit stand from before because of the Tomei. Migri, because the Issa falls on other things, therefore it's able to fall on this as well. But if Yitzhak really saw the Aminin Migri, Rabbi Yitzhak really doesn't hold of that. So that would be the Machlokes. Okay, so the question is, Rabbi Yosi, fine, but even according to Rabbi Yosi, Nihi de Migur Leamrinan, fine, granted he's going to say you don't say because the Isser is Chal on other things, therefore it's also Chal on this. Nevertheless, still, the fact is Tumas Aguf is a stronger Isser because it involves Taurus. Therefore, Tase Tumas Aguf de Chambira, shouldn't Tumas Aguf, which is more Chomer, which is more common because he's Chayav Karis. For the person eats Kodshim that are Tomei and he himself is Tor, he's not Chayav Karis. He's already grown a lot. He gets Malchus. But if he himself is Tomei and he eats Kodshim that are Tor, he's Chayav Karis. So shouldn't the stronger Isser of Tumas Aguf, which is more Chomer, shouldn't that be Chal using the mechanism of Isser Kurlo? And so fine, he doesn't accept Isser Moistif, but let him accept Isser Kurlo then. both of them are Yisur Kolel, sorry, but even if he doesn't accept Yisur Kolel in general, he should say that it does apply over here because you're talking about a Chumrah, because you're talking about a greater Chumrah in that it involves Kores. The Pesi Tumas Aguf Tachamira, let Tumas Aguf, which is more stringent, come the Tochel al Tumas Basar, and be Chal on top of the Yisur from the Tumah of the meat, and the result would be Bichai Kores. Amar Avashi, so Avashi answers, you're thinking that there's a Chumrah in Tumas Aguf? No, Mimai Tumas Aguf Chamura. Who says that Tumas Aguf is considered more Chomer than Tumas Basar? In a way it is, true, because it's Kores. But on the other hand, Tumas Basar Chamura, on the other hand, you could argue there's a certain Chumrah when the meat of the carbon became Tumas. She can't aim a tar of a mikvah because there's no way of making a tar ever again. Where the person becomes tummy, they can go to the mikvah. So you can argue, obviously. But the point is, Rav Yehuda Agudi could be saying, therefore, that the strong, once you have the stronger issue of Tumas Basar, which is an issue that can never go away, I don't hold that it's possible for the weaker issue of Tumas Aguf, even though it's stronger because of Kares, but it's weaker as far as
the issue comes up with the tar with the parah.
No. No, no. Once food is tummy, there's no way of being a power.
Even with pardon.
But I don't know, it's for Thomas Nessa. I don't want to do it. No.
Let's say a piece of meat touches a mess.
Then it becomes tummy, and then there's no making a charter. Even with pardon. The sole exception is water that becomes tummy. You can do hashaka. You take it in a container and put it in a mikveh, and as soon as the water, if it touches the water or the mikveh, then it becomes bottled to the mikveh, and it becomes charter. Nothing else. Yeah, you have a Rashi in Parshas Masorah, who quotes from Torah Tzoronim on this famous thing that when you say that a person has Tzoraas in their house, and they have to spew out everything from the house before the Kohen comes to declare whether it's Tzoraas, what's the point? Because once the Kohen declares the house has Tzoraas and everything in it, the Torah Chosam will learn in Torah Yisrael. And Rashi explains it there. So what does the Torah have to be Chosam? Any Kalim that he has, and most Kalim that he has in there, he can toivel if they become Tzoraas. Food he can eat during a time when he himself is tummy. When a person himself is tummy, he can eat tummy. Fine, but the regular person doesn't touch him in their house. And Rashi points out, obviously, we see that the only thing the Torah is careful about is klei cheret, because there's no tara for them. You have to break them, right? So therefore, so we see the Torah that Hashem is half even on the earthenware kalim of a year, even though they cost very little. That's the point. Instead of making him have to break them, the Torah tells him, get everything out of the house before the Torah comes. That way they won't become blind. Right. Mishnah says, Chayma b'shchitim v'aliyah u'v'aliyah m'b'shchita. There's a certain chumrah in the issue of shechting kodshim outside the Beis Mikdash over the issue of offering them outside of the Beis
Mikdash.
According to Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak can argue that it's greater. According to the Chum, it doesn't matter whether it's greater or not. Issur Kolel, either way, operates, and therefore the person is satisfied. Okay. Mishnah says, Chayma b'shchitim v'aliyah, there's a certain chumrah in the dinim of shechting a korban outside the azara over offering it over aliyah mebeshchita, and on the other hand, there's a chumrah in offering it over shechting. Chumrah beshchita, the chumrah in shechita is shasheset lahed yechayim. If a person were to shecht kodshim outside of his mikdash, having in mind just that a head yet should eat them, plain person should eat them, he would still be chayim kodesh. The hamala lahed yet potter, but if he were to offer them for a regular person, then he would be potter. Now, what do you mean potter? Rashi says that what it means is, if he's offering it to a person, means he's worshipping that person as an avodah zarah. Well, then obviously he's going to be chayav for avodah zarah. But what we mean is he'll be potter on the grounds of halach chutz. If let's say, for example, he knew that what he's doing is wrong, is avodah zarah. But so therefore, obviously he's not bringing a korban for that. But he didn't know that you're not allowed to offer a kodshim b'chutz. Then he would not bring a chata for that shogeg of halach chutz. That's how Rashi is. Tosfos has a problem with that because if you're saying that he's offering it for somebody else, meaning that he's making that other person a getcha, then he's a mum of a chol ha-tor ha-kula. There's nothing to talk about him bringing a chata in the first place. So Tosfos just leaves it as a question. Tosfos says, I can't understand how Rashi would say this. But you have Rashi says that it means ma'al al-chaver, it would mean that he's offering it to him as an avodah zarah. So you have some, and there that's the Tosfos asks, if he's offering to avodah zarah, then of course he's not bringing a chatas for halal b'chol. It's a mum al-chol ha-tor ha-kola. He's not bringing any chol on it. But first, which leaves it in a question on Rashi. Other Mepharshim explain that Rashi, other Mepharshim explain that not like Rashi, they would say Malo Vahedya. It doesn't mean that he's offering it to him as an Avodah Zarah. It means he's burning it in his honor, let's say, or something. Not as Avodah Zarah, but just like as a mark of honor to him, or whatever. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, so we're saying that Shchita for a Hedyot would be higher, but Malo Vahedya would be possible. That's what you said. You put it on a platform, on a mizbeach, and you set it on fire, for example, for intending to worship the other person. Again, according to Rashi, you're talking about you're intending, or the person is, he's doing it intending to worship the other guy. According to the other Mepharshim, we mean that he's just doing it in honor of him. So that's the chumrah in shchita overall. Yeah? On the other hand, the chumrah b'aliyah, there's a chumrah when it comes, there's a different chumrah when it comes to aliyah. Shnayim sh'ofta b'fak in the shaftu, if you have two people holding a knife together and shechting an animal outside the business, turim, and they're poser from kores or chatas, ochtu b'eva v'helu, but if two people together hold an aver and put it up on an altar and then burn it, chayavin, then they're chayav. So that's the chumrah of aliyah over shchita. What about another case? Hell of a cause of a hell of a cause of a hell. What if a person offers, and then he offers again, and then he offers again, all from the same animal?
So what happens?
Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says he's going to chayav a chachas individually for each aliyah. Obviously, we're talking about it was the hell of a hell. If it was in separate hell, We're going to see in the Gemara what the point of their machal. No. Because here we're talking about shchutis chutz. We're not talking about the issue of Avodah Zarah. But Reb Shimon is going to say he's chayiv individually for each aliyah, for each offering. Reb Yosi and chayiv al achas. Reb Yosi says no, he's only going to be chayiv one time. We're talking about these are all pieces from one animal. We'll work out in the Gemara what exactly the machlokes is between Reb Shimon and Reb Yosi. And the Gemara and the Mishnah continues. The Gemara later on explains that this last part is also according to Reb Yosi. The Eini Chayev Ashiyal Bereisham is Beach. Furthermore, Reb Yosi is saying a person is Chayev only if he puts the korban on top of an actual mizbeach, an actual altar that was built. Reb Shimon, I feel a hella, a sella, a hella even Chayev. Reb Shimon says no. Even if he just offers it on a stone or a rock, he's also Chayev.
Not on.
Doesn't have to be dapped on a purpose built platform, right? You have, I think, the Chazon Ish asked the question, what about if he were to be makruvit on the floor? And he says, no, even Reb Shimon would agree that it has to be on something raised up from the ground, at least 10 tefachim, he says, in order to be a shulchan stone. Otherwise, it would be just considered on the floor, and even Reb Shimon would agree that he's puzzled. No, not allowed to do it, but he'd be puzzled. Sitting on a stool. Now, why is it that you're saying that if a person offers a korban to a hedyot, again, as a avodah zarah, like Rashi said, or just in honor, like the other Mepharshim said, we said that he's potter. The reason is, dichtiv l'Hashem, you're going to say the reason is because the potter says that he didn't bring it to Pesach or Moed to do it as a korban for Hashem, meaning, in other words, that when is he chayav, when he's doing it, l'shem shamayim, but he's doing it outside of the mikdash. Well, that's when you're saying he's chayiv, so that's why you're saying if he does it by hedyot he's potter. Well, the shchita nami achsid l'Hashem. Nu, and by shchita also it says, v'alpazach ha'yomoyed lo yavi l'achir korban l'Hashem. And there you're saying he's chayiv, which that's for a hedyot. So what's the difference? The answer is shiny hosam, z'amakra, ish. Yes, but the difference is, when it comes to being mala, the prophet says, ish. Which besides, the simple meaning of ish means every person. But the Gemara is doubting that it also means if an ish is mala for another ish. Okay, but ish would mean lahavi ish sheshachav ish. Lahavi ish sheshachav ish. Yeah, okay. Fine, the question. So therefore, by shchita, that's the thing, rather, by shchita, since it starts off, ish medeis Yisrael, then therefore it means that even if one person shechs on behalf of another person, then he's still chayav. For shechting a korban outside of this mikdash. Yeah. The subject of this perek and the next perek is this, is shechting korbanos outside of this mikdash.
He does it for the other person.
He does it again. He does the shechita could be for the other person to eat it. Yeah. Okay. What about Gabi Halal Namik Sid Ishish? No, and when it comes to offering the korban a few seconds later, it also says Ishish. Want to dash in the same way? answer is that you need for a different direction. Mibayler the Shnayim Shehelu Ba'eva Chayavim. We need that to teach us the din that we said in the Mishnah, that if two people grab onto a limb and put it up on the Mizbeach together, they're both Chayav. That's the Ish teaches us that. So the question is, so why don't we say the same thing by Shchita, that Ish means the two people check together, they're Chayav, and all Mishnah has said they're not. The answer is Shiny Hossam, the Avakro Hahu. Fine, but you also have, the Pasuk says that the Pasuk says if a person shechs a korban outside of this mikdash, it says that v'nichra ha'isha hu, that person gets korban. Meaning, echad v'lo shnayim, meaning the korban only applies if one person is doing the shechita, not if two people are doing it together. Therefore, from that you have to understand, therefore, that ish ha'ishchita means that person, one individual person. No, because otherwise it's just No, that particular person, meaning only if one person does it. If two people together do the shita, then they're pasuk. That is why we can't understand the word ish in that pasuk to mean meaning that if two people do the shita together, then they're both chayav, because that would contradict the implication of the word pasuk. Therefore, we have to say ish over there means that one person shouts in honor of somebody else, or for somebody else to eat, or whatever. Actually, the Ritva points out in there's a sugya that takes up this point in Kedushin as well about this whole issue of Shnayim, about two people doing it together. And the Ritva points out over there, don't we usually say that Shnayim shots the Urf Turin? Why do we need something in the Pasuk to tell us specifically that if two people do it together, they're Pasuk, when we know in general that's the rule? And the Ritva says, in general, the Shnayim shots the Urf Turin. If you have, for example, by Malach with a Shabbat, if two people, let's say, pick up something together, where each one of them could have picked it up individually, they're both potter. Again, they're also to do it. It's one of those potter avol also things in Shabbos, but they're not chayav chafetz for it. What else?
What other case?
That's in Shabbos. We find that in Shabbos. Shnayim shasur of Torah. So the point is, therefore, so the Ritva says that's the verb. Because it says ish over here, we would have misunderstood that this is an exception, and here shnayim shasur of chayavin, and therefore we needed the word oisa, we needed the word hahu, rather, to tell us that not. Okay. Fine. So the question is, Yehochi gabe halah nam yehochi bahu. Nu, and by halah it also says the word hahu. So therefore, wouldn't you say the same thing? Right. The answer is no. Boilei the ma'uti shogig onus umuta. No, because the hahu.
In this case.
Okay. So you know what? Let's go get the call. Okay, do you want to still be in the middle of Pashat Akhredos that deal with this whole issue of shechting and offering korbanos bachutz? Okay, so again, starts off ish nivetit tzuchel, ashi yish hachsher yiketz v'ayiz machna, 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 ashi yish hachsher. So as the Gemara is going to point out in a second, we actually have two ha'hu's of it. We thought that we're talking about Menichas HaYishahu. The Gemara is going to explain in a second that actually we're learning from Ma'ishahu, as far as the two people shechting. The first one. Right. Not from the second one, because we're going to use the second one for a different purpose that we're going to talk about next. Okay. Then it continues a few scripts later, but I'm talking about Ish in basic Israel, and I should Yahweh Ola and Rabba. So here we're talking about Allah offering it. The Alpha Ramayla again of the version. Menichas HaYishahu Me'amav. Here you only have one Ha'hu. You have, by both of them, you have Ish. But here you have two ha'hu's, one in connection with Kareis and one earlier in the pasuk. And here you have ish, but you only have one ha'hu. So we thought then that we're darshaning. So far what we said is like, from the ish in connection with shchita, the first ish, we're learning that if two people together, that we're learning that if one person shechts for another person, then he's chayav. Why don't we say it means if two people together shecht, then they should both be chayav? Because you have a hahu. We thought it meant the hahu of v'nichlas ha'ishahu, the second hahu. Now the Gemara is going to say that actually no, it means that it's going to mean the first one because we're using the second one for a different drasha. Well, we're going to see in a second. In the case of halah, ish teaches us that if two people are mala together, they're both chayav, and hahu also comes for part of the drasha that we're learning over here. That's miboyle, mamauti shogid onus umote. The hahu is coming to exclude the case where a person shechted or offered the korban outside of the mikdash, where he was shogeg, or where he was shogeg, which means Rashi learns that shogeg means that he himself didn't know, onus, or where he was onus. Or where he was misled, which actually says muteh means he was misled by other people. We have a few different explanations among the Koshim, what exactly the difference. Rashi learns that the difference between shogeg and muteh is shogeg is he himself made a mistake, and muteh means that other people misled him. We have a few other explanations among the Koshim. It can mean, for example, that he didn't know that it's also versus he didn't know this animal was a korban, whatever. But therefore, so the word hahu comes to exclude that. Tosfos asks the question, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that onus is pater? Of course, onus rachmana pater. So Tosfos says, onus rachmana pater. We know that in general, the Torah always passes an onus from punishment. Why do we think here it's different? That we need. So Tosfos says, okay, maybe onus over here means omer mutter, that he thinks it's completely mutter, which is a type of onus. Obviously, because it was forced to by other people, and there's no chiddush. Yeah. Also, Tosfos says, what about if he's shogeg? Of course, he brings a korban. Why would he think he's chayav korban? Tosfos' answer is because you would think maybe if he didn't bring the korban, maybe you would say he didn't bring the korban, therefore he should be chayav korban. Therefore, we need the word hahu to teach us that no, the fact that he was b'shogeg makes him potter from korban altogether, even if he didn't bring a korban for what he did wrong.
So shogeg, if he didn't bring the korban.
Even if he didn't bring the korban. Honors, even if he's omer mutter, he thinks that it's mutter, and mutter is other people misled him. And then, yeah. The Raivad actually brings an interesting other possibility, why it says honors over here. He says, given that in the psukim over there, you have an expression that if a person does this, if a person checks the korban outside of his mitzvah, dom yechoshid la'ishahu, it's considered like he shed blood, dom shapach, it's like he spilled blood, and therefore he's chayev. So the Raivad says, you would think the pasuk is comparing shotechot to murder. And murder is Yehoreg Val Yaver. Murder, killing a human being. Dom Shabash, Shvichos Domin. So you would think, therefore, it's Yehoreg Val Yaver. Therefore, we have to stress that no, onus is, that onus is not there. Okay. Fine. So the question is, Yehoch, Yehoch, Nam, Yubolam, what's the onus, Shogim? Nu, and by shechting, also, you need the word Hahu for the same Yerusha. So how do you have the word Hahu available to teach you that if two people shech together, they're potter? The answer is Shei Hahu. It says twice Hahu. It says Dom Yechosh of Oish Hahu, Dom Shabbat, Menechot Oish Hahu. So the first Hahu is teaching us that if two people shech together, then they're potter. The second one is teaching us the Derasha about Shogeg Onus and Mutter. Okay. The Elol Hashem Lomali. So then we have to ask, we thought originally that by Hashem. No, so we thought at the beginning of the sugya that since it says that he didn't bring it lahakris korban lashem, then therefore we said that's why we would say that he's potter if he shechts it for a person to eat it. But if we're saying now that we're not learning it from that, if we're saying we're not learning it from that. Because the fact is, it says Lashem both by halal. No, we said actually Hamala Lahedyet is Potter because it says Lashem. But we said, what about the Lashem by Shteta? So now we're left with, okay, so what are we doing with Lashem by Shteta? The Lashem by halal, we're saying that, yes, if he's Mala for a human being, then he's Potter. But what's the Lashem by Shteta doing? The answer is Lahoti Sarah Mashalayah. It comes to exclude the Sarah Lazazel. Because if a person were to shech the Sarah Lazazel, then he would be Potter. If he would have shechted outside the Azara, he would be, instead of throwing it off, then he would be potter, because it's not Lashem. It's not something that's meant to be offered to Hashem. Yeah, but actually, Machlokes.
Everyone who would be offered to Hashem would be higher.
But not this.
But not this.
Yeah, but Machlokes is in the Rambach. It's thrown off the cliff, the Azara. But that's not the point. It's not meant to be shechted and offered to Hashem, yeah. Then Machlokes between the Rambam and the Raivad, at what point that kicks in exactly? Is it as soon as the Goyal is done and this animal is designated as Lazazel, or is it only the Rambam holds it only at a later stage after he does the Vidui on the other one, before shechting it? Okay.
Soon as the Goyal is made.
Oh, that's one way of looking at it, then so he designated Lazazel. But the other way of looking at it is, as long as he hasn't done the Vidui on the other one, then it's not really the story of Lazazel yet. Then we set him a Mishnah, Chomer Ba'avah. We said, on the other hand, there's a Chumrah. So we said, okay, so we established so far there's a Chumrah in Shechita over Ha'alah. Again, a person with a Shech Lahedyet is Chayev, but a person with a Mal of Lahedyet, he's Potter. Then we said in the Mishnah, Chomer Ba'avah. Then we said there's a Chumrah in Ha'alah, that if two people together take a piece of the Korban and put it on the Mizbeach, they're both Chayev, as opposed to two people together Shech, they're Potter. So how do we know that? Turn it up on them. Again, when it says ish, when it says in the second section ish regarding halah, ma tamad loymer, levavus shnayim sha'achu be'eva ve'helu shchayav, and it comes to include if two people together grab hold of an eva and put it up on the mizbeach and they're chayav. Now, why do you need to say that? Sheyochol v'alo dinu, because if it weren't for that, you would think to make a kavah loymer as follow.
Why do you say that two people?
That's why, because we said before, by the first one, we said ish can't mean two people because we have the extra word hahu. Here, where we don't have hahu, then ish means two people together. Okay, now why does the pasuk need to spell that out? So like this, Yehovah, because you would think to make a kavachomer, to make a limud as follows. Ma'uma ha-shercha v'ahedya t'chayim. Ma'adach in the case where a person shech for a hedya to eat. We said in the Mishnah, he's chayim. As the case means. And yet, shnayim sha'achu b'sachem b'shachtu turin. Yet, if two people hold the knife and shech together, we said they're potter. Hamala the hedya chapotter. Well, then if somebody is mala the korban, if somebody offers the korban to a hedya, where we said in the Mishnah that he's potter, ain't a din shnayim sha'achu turin. Shouldn't we make a kavah korban and say if two people together are mala, then they're potter. That is why, to prevent us thinking that kavah korban, tamad lema ish, divir emshin. That's what emshin. Rabbi
Yosef,
you would think they should be possible by Allah. Also. Yeah. That's Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says,
just to bring it to the meat.
I mentioned at the beginning of the Perek that Allah can involve putting it on a Mizbeach, it can involve putting it, throwing it, whatever, it can involve lighting it on fire, or both. You have a machlokas among Achronim, which one it includes, or maybe it includes both of them. Maybe if one person put it on a Mizbeach and the other one lit the fire, they'd both be possible. But maybe not. Okay. Anyway. So that's Rav Shimon. Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi says no. Hahu echad v'lo shnayim. The fact is it says hahu. Okay, you only have one hahu over there, but nevertheless, it still applies to that. So it means one person is chayev, not if two people did it together. In Kain matamavam ish. So Rav Yosi says, then why does it say ish? He says, dibur chayev, chalosh me'adam. The Torah uses the common way of speaking. And the common way of speaking in those days is that when you use the word ish to mean every person. Okay. So what would Rav Shimon answer? He would say, you can't learn from the word hahu, because the word hahu, we just said, you need it to exclude the case where it's shogig or onus or mut. Rav Yosi, what would Rav Yosi answer to that? He would say, mehu hahu. He would say, fine, but the Torah could have said, ha'ish hu, and instead it said, ha'ish hahu. So therefore, you can learn both things. You can learn shogig, onus, and mut, and you can also learn only one person, not two. So you have because it could have said who, and instead it said how, it could have said
she.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you have in the Torah where it uses the word who instead of how who. But over the Halevi, who, by Yishkabim of Alayla, who, you have a number of places where it uses the word who instead of how who.
When do you use it?
For example, you have in Parshas Vayetze over there with after Reuben brings the Judayim and then Rachel and Leah trade off for it. So it says over there, Vayishavim of Balayla Hu, that Yaakov lay with Leah that night. Doesn't say Balayla Hahu. You haven't Parshas.
You say Ahu.
Usually you would say Hahu, but you don't have to. That's the point. Rabbi Yitzchak Levi is arguing. You don't. Rabbi Yitzchak rather is arguing. You don't have to. You could say who. But about Halevi, who it says in Parshas Torah, the Levi he should serve in the Beit Mikdash. Then say Halevi, Robert Halevi, how? Yeah. Okay. Rav Shimon, who? How? Who? Lajarish. Rav Shimon is an answer. I don't hold of that way of doubting. It's not that it could have said who and instead it says how? Who. It says how? Who? We doubt in one thing. Okay.
We
doubt in one. We doubt as that shows on the Muslim. Therefore, he says I don't have that word available to teach us anything about one person. Therefore, I say if two people are makrif together, then they're chayim. A mala together, and that's high. And Rabbi Yosi disagrees with that. The question is that Rabbi Yosi, the high ish gibber Torah Koloshim Ne'odom, okay, but if you're going to tell me that second ish is just the normal way of speaking, and you're not messaging anything from it, well, then how cool ish nami dibratera philosophy adam. The same thing should apply to the one in connection with Shrita in Ulu, in Pasuk Gimel. So then, the Elah Shoicha Behedim and Ole Dechayev. So how does he know then that if a person shech for a head yet, that he should be chayev? Before we learned just from ish, it means that one person is shech, that one ish is shechting for another ish. But if he says dibratera philosophy adam, then where is he meaning it from?
What it means exactly is dibratera philosophy adam.
So it means exactly that. It means the Torah is using common expressions, the common terminology. People usually, in those days, the normal way of speaking was that way. If you wanted to say every person, then you would say, that's how you'd say it.
Without
necessarily halakhic implication. Tosfos actually references over here that they have a discussion in a Tosfos in Rava Matthiah about this question: when exactly do we say Dibra Torah Kolos from the Adam? Because the fact is, we have all over Shas, we have drushes from things that. I'm looking over here at the Tosfos over there in Rava Matthiah. So Tosfos mentions that there can be a distinction between what you do is you look at the context of the psukim, you see that you see whether there's something in the psukim over there that indicates over there that you should not be doushening these extra words, but you should just consider it Tavashim Ve'adam. As an example. Yeah, you look at the context of the psukim surrounding it over there. So for example, Tosfos says, let's say, for example, when it says, Posayach Tiftach, that you're supposed to, you're supposed to give, and we learn from that in Drasha that even if you only give him a ton of mu'eset, even if you can't give a poor person a large amount of stuff, you still have a mitzvah to give him a small amount. So if we say, Dibra Terah Kolosh Me'adam, we would say, fine, because in the context of the psukim over there, it says, Dei Machzori, you're supposed to give him whatever he's lacking. So therefore, logically, so here we would have something similar. All right. So where is he getting that if a person shechts for a head yet he'd be chayev if he's not learning it from ish? The answer is Naftalim Dom Yechoshav Laishahu Dom Shopach. He learns it from the next pasuk says that if a person does this, he shechts a korban outside the Azara, blood shall be considered for that person. He's spilled blood. Lo ishahu, meaning makilu ashrech of ish. Even if he's shechin for another person, still, he's spilled blood, and he's still high of korban to a chatas.
So
it's as if he spilled the blood of a person. That's the point. But the point is he's high. But the expression, lo ishahu, Rabbi Yossi, is saying that means even if he's not shechin for Hashem outside of this nefesh, he's just shechin for a person. Nevertheless, he'd be kind. Yeah. So he's not learning from Ishish, but he's learning from that. Okay. I guess we'll have to stop over here, because otherwise we'll be smack in the middle of a discussion when it comes time for my ears. So.